This is the Community Forum, a public affairs presentation of the Montrose Broadcasting Corporation. Welcome to the program. It's good to have you with us as we are joined today by State Representative Linda Schlegel-Culver of the 108th Legislative District, representing parts of Northumberland and a piece of Snyder County as well. We're going to be talking about the racial situation nationally, of course, the coronavirus situation, especially here in the state, and a few other issues as well, as we are joined for this update with State Representative Linda Schlegel-Culver. Thanks for being with us on the program. We do want to address the current state of Pennsylvania and your district when it comes to the virus. But first off, can you give us an update on your operations since mid-March? What was closed? What was and wasn't available? And how can people contact you now? What has since reopened? I know you now have a satellite office at the mall as well.
Initially, for the safety of our constituents and my staff, moved to phone calling and online, and we shut down the district offices, partially because the mall closed, the borough building we're in Milton closed, and we were taking stuff in Sunbury, and then we decided, just for everybody's safety, initially we did everything by phone and by email. And actually people dropping packages off at the office, we put in a drop box right before we left the office. We are now back in the Sunbury office full-time for the last at least four weeks. And we are doing by appointment only right now because we're making some adjustments inside. That's not to say if somebody comes to the door, we of course take care of them. It seems to be working out very well. People feel pretty comfortable. We actually have some tables set up outside, and people are liking what we're calling our open air service. We have installed a curbside service so that if you're not comfortable getting out of the car or getting that close to anybody, you pull into the designated spot. We have our phone number on there. You just call us, and we will come out to your car and do as much of the business there as we can. We recognize that there might be a time where we have to take your paperwork, go in and work on it, and then we would call you and tell you to come back, and we come back out to your car and have you sign it if that's what's needed. We still have two drop boxes, one for smaller pieces of mail, one for larger pieces, and if we know you're dropping something off in the larger box, we put an envelope out with your name on it. Both of them are locked. We have cameras out there, so when somebody drops off, we go get them. The only thing we ask is that you not drop anything off when we are physically not there. That would be nights and weekends, just to make sure we can get it out, and because sometimes it's sensitive information. We hope to be opening to the public just at large here shortly. The mall office is by appointment only because they just, we were actually just allowed to get back in there. But because we're doing appointments, so we're working around everybody else's schedule, and we are not in the Milton office just yet. They did a slow opening, so we have a drop box there that we're picking up materials.
Okay, sounds like your operations are like the rest of us, playing it by ear and figuring it out as you go, right?
It is. It's important that we meet the needs of our constituents. We've been trying really hard to do so, and you've probably heard that unemployment and the PUA payments have been really difficult and challenging for people, and they asked us how many cases we have worked on, and we are well over 400 individuals that we've worked on since this started. So, and it's not slowing down. People are still concerned, and we're getting people from all over that haven't received payment yet, so we are still working with them.
Okay. And if people heard our program last week at this time, they heard a discussion of that that topic of unemployment in the current situation. Now, we've heard the word unprecedented a lot, whether it's, it certainly has been things like it in history, but for most people alive today, this is unprecedented. Like I said, everybody's taking a different approach. Everybody works it out on their own. But what are your thoughts on how our state has worked to shut down and reopen? Are you happy with the system?
So, I would never want to be in the position of having to make all the decisions right now for the Commonwealth. First of all, the Commonwealth is extremely diverse, both culturally, geographically, and where the population is. I think the governor's decision to, slowly shut down everything was smart. But you question, and initially I understood why he did what he did. We've had counties that only had four cases total. And they were shut down with the rest of us. It's hard to explain to them why they're not working. Do you know what I mean? Why are they being shut down? I think we've opened up a little slower than everybody is comfortable with, just because we have, you know, businesses that will not reopen. And that's sometimes that third and fourth generation businesses. It's sometimes restaurants people come to rely on, but the owners of these businesses are taking this extremely hard. And their ask is, if we can open safely, we'd like to open. And I have trust and faith, you know, in our employers, our employees, that they are going to go back safely, because, you know, a lot of these, if you take a beautician or a barber, a lot of times in our area, it's single-owned or family-owned businesses. If one of them gets sick, they all get sick, and then they're shut down. So they're really careful as to what they're doing. I think we need to have that trust. And when you have big box stores open and you have the little, you know, individually owned shops looking at it, thinking, I could do this safer, why am I not open? It gets hard to explain that to them. And the legislature's been pushing at the governor a bit to reopen things. And he's been responding, not as quick as I think everybody would like, but he's been responding. And, you know, first and foremost for everybody is, you know, keeping everybody safe, keeping, you know, that curve down. And our hospitals, though, are well prepared. They have all the equipment needed, the staffing needed. They feel it's safe to go there, whether it's, you know, for COVID or any other thing that you might have going on. And I think we're ready. I mean, everybody knows you need to wear the mask, you need to stay distance. I think the message has come out loud and clear, and I think now we have to have trust in the people of the Commonwealth to do the right thing.
And certainly everyone's not complying, but I feel like I see a good percentage. Have you noticed that you know, if you're out in public, you see generally people are keeping these rules in mind?
Yeah, and you know, you have to be cautious. I know, you know, there's been some what we call mask shaming. There are people who cannot wear the mask for a medical reason, and that's people of all ages, not just a certain age. So you have to be careful that you're not mask shaming somebody who has a medical condition that's unable to wear the mask. You know, and I think we're responsible, because the mask doesn't stop us from getting COVID. It stops us from spreading it. So having that respect for, you know, our fellow neighbors and, you know, our community is important. So I think that's why we're wearing the mask more than anything.
Whenever we do these interviews, we talk about what's coming up next. But whereas with this, I'm sure this isn't something you could anticipate very well, but it's affected various things like, you know, from volunteer fire companies that can't raise funds right now to, you know, regular small business. What's the state doing to address those types of concerns?
So there have been several funding sources that small businesses could apply for, both through the federal government and the state government. We just passed, I don't know if you saw the governor's announcement Monday, showing the different things that are coming out. They haven't figured out yet how you apply for them, but that'll be coming out shortly. We did pass $50 million for the volunteer fire companies, and the Office of the Fire Commissioner is working out now how he's going to disseminate that money. I don't know if it will solve all of the problems, but at least it's a help, and it gets them moving in the right direction. I've encouraged everybody to reach out to your local fire company, see how you can help them, because they have been helping people through the entire pandemic. Whether it's a $10 donation or more if you have it, or taking them a meal or whatever, they have, you know, responded to the whole pandemic, and they're going to be hurting financially. I mean, if you follow the carnivals and the festivals and the parades, everything up until mid-July has been canceled. So I would have probably by July 4th had, I think, four parades in, and they've all been canceled, and all of them are attached to a carnival for the fire company.
Everybody I talk to hates hearing the words new normal, but do you think this is where we're going to be, or is it just a matter of time till we can have some semblance of normalcy again? What do you see in the future?
I mean, I think, I know nobody likes the term new normal, but if you talk to any business owners that were allowed to operate or, you know, are looking at, hey, this working from home is working for us. So I think it's, you know, pushing or nudging businesses to take a look at their business model, and I think you'll see a lot more people working from home. I don't know that I realized the full impact of that until last week. We had a hearing with the Department of Transportation and the Turnpike Commission, and their fears are people are not going to be going back to work. They're going to be working from home. That means less people buying gas, less gas tax, you know, less people paying fees on the Turnpike. So you'll see adjustments all over in areas you probably didn't think would need to be adjusted that will be impacted by, I think, quote, the new normal.
And as far as the state budget goes, give us an update on that and where it stands and how this pandemic has affected just the preparations there.
When the governor moved the collection dates from the end of March to the end of July, so that's like our payday. We know how much money we have to work with. Therefore, we can, you know, craft a budget that's responsible based on what we know. The governor's office, the Senate, and the House leadership met and decided we can't do a budget by the end of June because we don't know, number one, what our revenues are going to be. Number two, if there's any more money coming out from the federal government. And number three, the full impact of the pandemic and the shutdown and the cost to the Commonwealth. So what we did is to keep continuity for everybody who receives money from the budget. It took last year's budget and gave everybody 5/12 of what we gave them last year. We did a 5-month budget. That'll take us in, I think, to the end of October. Everybody, you know, all three chambers agreed on it. And there was a few increases, like for healthcare, nursing homes, PPE equipment, but overall, everybody got 5/12 or 42% of what they received last year, except with the exception of our early education, daycare, K-12, and our higher education, because we wanted our educational institutions to be able to open, prepare, and plan for a full year of education for anybody receiving education. So we did do that. That was the only change. They did get, you know, the bulk of their budget. And they also did receive money from the federal government and money that passed through to us for education. A lot of them are saying a lot of that extra money will go into preparing for the fall, meeting the guidelines with the students, you know, keeping them separated and safe. So we'll see. I mean, so it's not like they fell into a bunch of money. I think it's going to be used to open schools next year.
And just the one final topic, the racial discord that's been protests and riots and your thoughts on that in Pennsylvania. What, how have we been impacted? And do you think there are things you can do in Harrisburg to address, situations like this happening with the police?
Yeah, I mean, I think this is, it's not a situation that arose overnight. What happened to George Floyd should have never happened to anybody. You have situations in every occupation where, you know, people follow the rules and people don't follow the rules. And what happened to him and his family was tragic. I think we need to make sure as we go forward that we work with, our communities. Black Lives Matter has made big movements, and on the House floor, there was a demonstration or protest by some of our members, and they'd like to see a package of 19 bills crafted. They don't have them all yet ready. Our leadership is fully open to running them. I mean, we have had members prior to this working on some reforms for law enforcement. But we have to be careful. I mean, when we talk about defunding law enforcement, what happens when there is a crime to a regular citizen, innocent, there'd be nobody to respond. I think you would have mayhem at that point. So it's important that, we are protecting our citizens. We are looking at any injustices as we go forward, or racism or anything like that. I think it's important we keep law enforcement safe as well, because at the end of the day, we are all human beings. And respecting each other is probably the most important thing we can do. I mean, we have asked the governor to run a special session on this issue, and he has responded back. He wants a resolution from both the House and Senate before he does that. So we have to go back and work on that. We had hoped he would just call the special session and that we could come back this summer and work on it. But we'll be back, not next week, but the week after. So I think we'll probably do those resolutions, ask him to run the special session. So if anybody has any input on an experience that they have had, good or bad, because I think we need to know what works and what doesn't work as we go forward.
We want to thank Representative Linda Schlegel-Culver for being our guest on today's WPGM Community Forum and giving us this update on these two really big issues that are affecting not only us here in Pennsylvania, but across the nation and around the globe during this year. Thanks for being with us, Representative. And we want to thank you, the listener, for tuning in. This has been a presentation of the Montrose Broadcasting Corporation. The views expressed on the Community Forum by our guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect those of the moderator, staff, or management of this station.